Your reading comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Can you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give waters in the desert, rivers in the wilderness, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, friends, and happy 175th anniversary. Amen. 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 And I hear that your pastor is about to start a sermon series entitled A New Dawn. All right. So we're going to talk about today a new dawn and a new vision. Turn to somebody and say, a new dawn. Turn to somebody else and say, a new vision.
New vision.
Now pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for the beautiful morning that you woke us up to. We thank you that we are in our right minds and bodies, that we are healthy enough to be here. And for those who are listening online, we thank you, oh God, for the opportunity to participate together in worship in whatever ways we can. As we have heard the scripture and have participated together in worship, oh Lord, now take these words of your Bible and let them be the bread of life for us. In all of this, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
The sun rose in Des Moines, where I live, in the area of Des Moines, at about 6:46 a.m. Now, the wonderful thing about that is that happens every day. Maybe at a slightly different time, but every day the sun rises. It is inevitable. Wherever you are in the world, you will experience the sun rising. It is a new dawn. It is a new day, and we awaken a new people. We are different every day that we wake up. We wake up with new experiences behind us, with new possibilities before us. We wake up with new ideas, with sometimes realizations that we did not know before. And if you're around my age or older, we wake up with some new aches and pains. My definition, in fact, for aging is your body doing new things daily and relentlessly, whether you want it to or not. Every day, we wake to a new dawn, to a new day, and to the reality of change in our lives and in our world. Friends, change is inevitable. It is the one constant in life. But the problem with change, as one friend once said to me, nobody really likes change except babies with dirty diapers. And I have raised two boys, and I got to tell you, even when their diapers were dirty, they didn't want change. Change is scary. It is scary for us, and it was scary for the ancient Israelites who were represented in the passage that Summer so nicely read for us. They had gone through remarkable change in their lives. They had been at war. They had experienced famine. They had been driven into exile. The changes that they had experienced were traumatic to them. But look at how our passage begins. It says in verse 16, and now I'm reading from the Common English Bible, the Lord says, the one who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariots and horse, army and battalion, they will lie down together and will not rise. They will be extinguished like a wick. The Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. This passage is hearkening back to a period in ancient Israel's history, the Exodus. You all know this story. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. God sends Moses to let my people go, to set God's people free. The Israelites escape and they get to the Red Sea. And God parts the waters, allows the Israelites to go across, and they are rescued from the Egyptian army. Isaiah brings his listeners, and God through Isaiah brings the people of Israel back to that event to remind them of who God is in their lives. Because in the midst of change, there is one constant, friends. The constant is that we can find an anchor and we can find our foundation in the faithfulness of a loving God. This is like God's resume. It's like what you would find on God's LinkedIn page if God had a LinkedIn page. I am the one who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who bring out chariot and horse, army and battalion. They will lie down together. They will not rise. They will be extinguished. I am the Lord your God. I am faithful to save, no matter what change you are undergoing. See, when Isaiah says later in this passage, and when God says to the people in this passage, don't remember the prior things, not talking about not remembering that, not remembering those stories of God's faithfulness in our lives. It's talking about letting go of the way we've done things in the past. So this is the other downside of change. Change is not only inevitable, change is necessary. It is necessary. The church must change. The church must change. Over its 175-year history, this church has changed remarkably to meet the needs of the communities that it serves. When the environment around us changes, we've got to change to be able to meet the moment. But change is hard, and change is scary. So God tells us, don't remember the prior things or ponder the things of old. I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Think about the changes that have happened in the church. We had painful disaffiliations. We had COVID. We have actually new words in our vocabulary that we did not have 10 years ago. Words like Zoom bombing. Share screen, when we say that, everybody knows what we're talking about. Now we've got words like AI and bots and social media influencers. Our environment, our media environment, our world is changing. And what is so crucial in the church and for the church to do right now is to be able to ministry to a world that is undergoing remarkable change. Think about what is happening in the world. The cohesion of our social relationships is breaking down. Our society is becoming more divided. There is more callousness. There is more anger. There is more resentment and there is more hate in the world. This is leading to more violence. There is a greater divide between rich and poor and a decline of the middle class. Our children are suffering. Suicide rates are going up amongst teenagers. The world around us is changing. And as that is happening, God is doing a new thing in the church. Can we not perceive it? You may have heard, and I realize, and I'm glad for your pastor's introduction, that he told you a little bit about the structure of the United Methodist Church, but our denomination as a whole has a new vision that has recently been released by the Council of Bishops. Our mission remains the same. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our vision is about how we do that, how we go about forming and nurturing disciples of Christ. We do it three ways. We do it by loving boldly, serving joyously or joyfully, and leading courageously. To love boldly, I love the children's message. It is to spend more time filling people's buckets up, their emotional buckets, their spiritual buckets, filling people's buckets up with love rather than depleting folks. It is about living out our great commandment. You know this great commandment, the two greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, anything out there, any kind of ideology or message or action that is not loving is not of God. If it is not directed and undergirded by love, it is not the work of the church. We are called to love in the face of fear. We are called to love in the face of violence. We are called to love folks that nobody else loves. We are called to love and forgive our enemies even. We are called to be identified as Christians by our love. We are to love boldly as Jesus loved, boldly. And we are to serve joyfully. Jesus said to his disciples, I am not one who came to be served. I am the one who came to serve. It was Jesus who took off his robe and knelt at the disciples' feet and washed their feet rather than requiring them to wash his. Serving joyfully was healing the blind man, even though it was on the Sabbath. Serving joyfully was feeding 5,000 people, even though everybody else was saying, we don't have enough. Serving joyfully was allowing the touch of a woman who was bleeding and had been bleeding for 12 years and was considered an outcast and unclean. And Jesus allowed her to grab hold to the hem of his robe and be healed. That is service. That is a service that is motivated and undergirded by the love of Christ. The love that Christ ultimately showed us when he decided to go to the cross. And then, friends, we are called to lead courageously. The church is not called to follow. The church is called to lead. And in a world that is divided, in a world in which evidently empathy has now gotten a bad name, let us lead with courage. Leading with courage doesn't mean being fearless. It means following the leading of God despite our fear. It means doing the right thing, even when other people laugh at us. Ultimately, it means living out the baptismal and the membership vows of the United Methodist Church And you know what they are. We have been given the freedom and the power to resist evil and oppression in all the ways that they present themselves. To resist evil and oppression in this world means to lead courageously, empowered by God's Holy Spirit. We are to love boldly, to serve joyfully, and to lead courageously. I celebrate the fact that here at Broadway, for 175 years, you have been doing that. And continue to do that. I got on your website, which I see is under construction, and you're doing some things to make it more relevant to your community today. And this is what I read. At Broadway, and this, I took this as a welcoming statement. This is what people would see if they were new to the church and if they got on your website. They would see, at Broadway, we believe that all people are made in the image of an infinite God. Then it talks about the fact that we are finite, we are limited. As an individual, I am limited. You are limited. We all are as individuals. But God has called us into diverse communities. That is why you are not only welcome here at Broadway, it says, you are a necessary part of our becoming. What a beautiful and deep theological statement that is undergirded by love, enlivened by this idea of grace. That only together are we truly becoming who God has called us to be. The statement goes on. Across the spectrum of ages, nations, races, sexualities, genders, ability, ideology, socioeconomics, and any other label that separates us in the empires of the world, because they are just that, labels. If you're willing to bring your whole self and break bread with those wholly different from you in pursuit of God, you are our people. What a beautiful statement. A new thing is happening in this church. Do you perceive it? God is bringing about a new day and a new dawn. Because not only is change inevitable, but the work of the Holy Spirit is inevitable. The only thing that ever gets in the way is our willingness to be at work with God where God is at work. Years ago, I did a Bible study. I've totally forgotten the name of the Bible study, but I did a Bible study, and the whole point of the Bible study was to discern where God was already at work in the world. And the idea is that you would discern where God was at work and join God. It was all about getting our will in line with the will of the Holy Spirit. It was all about seeing how God's love was being planted in the world and being one who would come there and join the Spirit in watering it. It was all about joining in the new thing that God was doing. And why? Why join God in this new thing? This is why. Our passage ends in this way, and I'm going to close. He says, look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Do you not recognize it? I am making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness. The beasts of the field, the jackals and ostriches will honor me because I have put water in the desert and streams in the wilderness to give water to my people, my chosen ones. This people whom I form for myself, who will recount my praise. Loving boldly is to praise the Lord. Serving joyfully is to recount our praises to God. Leading courageously is to praise the Lord. We were created to praise God in our lives, in our actions, through our loving, through our service, and through our leadership. May it continue to be so for another 175 years here at Broadway. Amen. Amen. Amen.